You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Welcome to the Roto Experts. Thank you for joining us on this Saturday morning. I'm Mike Blewett, along with my co-host George Kurtz, and we'll be taking you around the world of the NFL and fantasy football here for the next couple of hours. You can join us on Twitter at FNTSY Radio and give us a call at 888-843-6879. So, George, good to hear from you this morning. Thank you for gracing the listening audience with your presence yet again.
Yeah, that must be what it is. What a greeting. Good morning to you, too, Mike. Getting our little week 11 weekend started here. It's a little crisp in the air. It feels like football weather now.
It certainly does. For some reason in New York, the drop in temperature coincided exactly with daylight savings time. So it went from an extremely mild fall to cold and dark overnight. But, you know, what it wasn't dark was the Steelers' offensive performance the other night. It was actually sort of a weirdly disjointed game. We got some really big fantasy performances. Antonio Brown came into the week as the number one ranked wide receiver. It seems unlikely that he'll be unseated from that after his big performance the other night. Roethlisberger puts up a big game, which was great. He had four touchdown passes. I have Roethlisberger in a couple of leagues, and he seems to have shaken off some of the rust. But at the same time, there were stretches of that game where they had four consecutive possessions with zero net yards. At times, they struggled to get Le'Veon Bell going, but to their credit, Titans are pretty good against the run. They made a pivot. They just started putting the ball up in the air.
Yeah, I mean, it was a strange game. You're right. It ended up Steelers ended up running away from it at the end. But at one point, it was a close game, you know.
Even in the fourth quarter.
Right. Missed field goal by Tennessee early on. Allowed Steelers to, get a bigger lead. Drop touchdown pass by Delonte Walker, or else the game's all of a sudden much closer. Maybe it's a different outcome there. The Steelers were certainly the better team. You know, the Titans made so many mistakes. Mariota, you can't keep throwing the ball to the other team.
Yeah, four interceptions for Mariota. So he does salvage you. Fantasy owners don't have too much to hang their head about. Mariota ends up with a pretty good game, a 300-yard passing night with a touchdown. He also runs one in, which was a really huge save for him. So he's going to end up probably as a QB1 for this week, even in a game as you and I watched. He was tough. He was under pressure, and he missed through a bunch of balls.
Yeah, his accuracy, like I said, it wasn't the greatest. And those interceptions, so sometimes the interception's not always on the quarterback. Could be on the line, got pressure, maybe a receiver ran a wrong route. One did deflect over receiver's hands, but even that, it was the coverage was close there. So even that one could still be on Mariota. It just wasn't a good game. It makes you wonder, maybe Tennessee's not quite ready for prime time. Not because they lost. I mean, you're playing Pittsburgh at home prime time, you're probably going to lose, but it's the way they lost that would bother me a little bit.
Yeah, like George said, it was closer than it ends up seeing 40-17 final, but it's 23-17 entering the fourth quarter. We'll come back, talk a little bit more about that game, update you on injuries. Some quarterbacks have been benched, and we'll talk about their new starters on those teams. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Wind and Fire, right? September. So if you want to hit us up today at Kurtz on Twitter, at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. George is at George Kurtz. And give us a call at 844-843-6879. And to all of you that have joined us, we appreciate you listening, whether you've joined us through the Fantasy Sports Radio app or iHeartRadio or TuneIn Radio or a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country. Thank you so much. Thanks for starting your Saturday morning with us, and hopefully get some good information out of it. If you want to reach out, please do. So back to that game. Roethlisberger, George, 30 of 45, 299. He has the four touchdowns. I think there's still a little bit of communication issues between him and Martavis Bryant if you're looking for any negatives. But overall, you're going to take games like this from Ben all the time, especially on a team that has the bell cow back. They make a nice pivot away from Bell to frankly attack that defense in the way it needed to be attacked. They're top 10 against the run. They said, let's not beat up Le'Veon Bell. At one point, the throws to runs were like 43 to 12. It ends up 45 to 21, but that's mixed in with, kneel downs and everything else. So it was a very heavy pass attack to try and, slice up the Titans defense. They did a pretty good job of it.
Yeah, I think the key there was, hey, Titans are good against the run. Well, why beat our heads against the wall? We'll attack them in a way they're not good at, which is via the pass. They really didn't have an answer for Antonio Brown. No. They couldn't cover him, especially in the end zone, and he had a huge game. Good for Brown owners, bad for everybody else. Yeah. So, like I said, I don't know why more teams don't do that, Mike.
Yeah. Not everybody has that kind of versatility, I would say. But at the same time, to your point, nobody's got Antonio Brown. He's 10 for 144, three touchdowns in the end zone. He was just, he's not even the biggest guy, and he's just winning jump balls on them. Roethlisberger took advantage of the Titans on some offsides penalties, so he got a free play out of it right off the bat. 40-yard touchdown, 41-yard touchdown. Le'Veon Bell owners, you should know, if you didn't watch the game, you came in within about two blades of grass of getting a touchdown because he was in basically on this one play, but you go and look at the replay, and he technically wasn't in. It's just one of those things that replay accentuated that he was down just before the goal line, and then that touchdown ended up going to Jesse James, I believe, on a tremendous play fake by Roethlisberger. So outside of the big three, Le'Veon Bell does have over 100 yards combined, just doesn't get in the end zone. Juju Smith-Schuster, 4 for 47. Martavis Bryant, 2 for 30, also picks up a two-point conversion. Marcus Mariota, 22 of 33, 306, four touchdowns. He does throw a touchdown pass. And the touchdown pass was a long one. He hits a huge play. Rishard Matthews, 5 for 113 and a touchdown. That was right out of the halftime break, and which made it look like the Titans would make a game of it. But unfortunately, the Steelers, as George has said, ran away with it in the fourth quarter. Now, to the really frustrating part, George, the Tennessee rushing attack. DeMarco Murray, 8 for 10. Derrick Henry, 7 for 32. It has people saying, well, why isn't Henry starting? What's wrong with Murray? I think it's possible that Murray still's got lingering injury issues, but I'll give you the floor on the Tennessee rushing attack. Like, where'd he go from here?
Well, watching the game, Scott Engel put a tweet during the game, and I thought he was 100% correct. Murray had no burst. He's either injured or he's done. I mean, you watch that. That's the only excuse. Or it's Thursday night game. You couldn't get going. It's one of those three things. But he did not look good at all. He looked like an old and slow back. So that was kind of ugly there. Now, with the camera angle they had there, it could be tough to see. Was he hitting the holes? How fast he is? Because I don't mind the camera angle, but I'm not bashing it. But it's good for passing plays. A little tougher for running play to see if he's hitting the right hole and that sort of thing. But I didn't like what I saw from Murray at all. Henry was obviously quicker. He was able to bounce to the outside a couple times and make some yardage there. You have to wonder, are they going to make that transition now to giving Henry the ball more? I'm not saying where he's going to be the bell cow starter there. But if he's going to start to get more and more touches here, he just looks more lively than Murray does.
I mean, Murray in his age 28 season last year had 346 touches. I will tell you that me personally, I avoided him going into this season because of the extreme amount of touches over the previous couple of seasons, especially last year. At what you consider an advanced age. I'm not saying that every guy is done by the time they're 29. I'm just saying DeMarco Murray, injury history, 350 touches nearly going into this season. I was concerned. Plus, I thought Henry might, I thought eventually Henry might take more carries. It does seem odd to me that they don't get him more involved in it. But, you know, the other night, he has as many carries as Murray. So what does that all mean? I think DeMarco Murray owners are in a really tough spot. I think that's the bottom line. It's tough to not put him out there when he scores three touchdowns in week 10, and then you put him out there 3 days later, and he has one of the worst games of the season.
Yeah, if I had both, it's going to be a problem next week. Just because we think that Henry should get more carries, more touches, doesn't mean Tennessee's going to think the same thing. You know, Murray's going to have 11 days off now. Maybe he'll be refreshed and ready to go next game. But he just looked old and slow, Mike. Even like I said, I know the Steelers are good against the run, so it's a little unfair there, too. But when the other back, all of a sudden has success that you didn't have, it does make you wonder. Murray just didn't look good at all. And like you said, I don't think I have him in any league either. I had him as a keeper coming into the year in one league, but I traded him away.
Yeah, so Steelers defense does look good, right, George? I mean, they've infused a lot of young guys in there. This team's coming together. I thought Collinsworth made a fairly good point the other night about them being able to play man coverage, which is really obviously geared towards trying to defend the Patriots at some point, which they'll get a chance to do in week 15 and hopefully again in the playoffs. But I think it's coming along. Defense is probably even a little better than I expected, and they did a really good job of pressuring Mariota.
They did. They certainly did. They got to Mariota a bunch. And maybe that's what led to his jitters of throwing the ball to the wrong colored uniforms on Thursday night. Steelers defense looked legit. They looked dangerous. But the problem is, can they do this at home? They're a little inconsistent. Can they beat the Patriots anywhere? Their defense, as good as it is, doesn't seem to match up well against New England. So that's really the test there. How will they do against KC again? Yeah, as far as the AFC is concerned, I know it's Blake Bortles, man, but does anybody really want to play Jacksonville and deal with that defense?
No, but I think your first point is the salient one. I just don't know that anybody's going to be scared of that bottling up Fournette. Say he's healthy, bottling, and we'll get to that in the next segment, bottling up Fournette, and then ultimately having to have Bortles beat you. They have pretty good weapons there in with Marquise Lee and even Allen Hurns to an extent, but this is a team that's obviously trying to run the ball to win, and Fournette's got to be healthy to be there. So, and even if he is healthy, can he just stack nine in the box and let Bortles try to throw his way out of it? That's going to be a challenge for them. Delanie Walker, 6 of 92. Corey Davis, 3 of 27. DeMarco Murray did catch 5 passes for 37 yards, so he saved you from a totally miserable night, but still he doesn't even get to double digits in a full-point PPR league. From IDP owners, Adoree Jackson had a huge night for me. He had 11 tackles, a couple of passes defended. He's returning kicks. I think the Titans got a good one in that first round with Adoree Jackson, kind of multi-purpose guy. They even put him on offense a little bit. So that's about it. Anything else on this game, George?
Well, we're even talking IDP. We're covering everything for you.
Yeah, we are. I watched that game twice, so I got a full boat of information. We are going to talk about the Tyrod Taylor benching. We can talk about it in the next break. We're also going to have Ryan Talbot. Ryan Talbot from he's at Ryan Talbot Bills, and you can find him at New York Upstate. He's a Bills beat writer, so we're going to bring him on to talk a little bit about this Tyrod Taylor Benjamin switch. He's a Bills writer for New York Upstate and Bills updates. So we'll talk to him in the next hour and get some good information on Nathan Peterman. So I was obviously surprised to see that, George. I assume you were as well.
I don't think I was shocked. I mean, once again, they've let us be known now for a couple of seasons. They don't like Taylor.
I agree.
For whatever it is, and they're sort of blaming him for last week against the Saints. Okay, he didn't have a good game. Are you going to bench all your defense, too? I believe they have close to 300 yards rushing. That was sort of a joke there last week. So I get it, Taylor. It's the quarterback. He gets the blame. That's the way it is in the NFL. You get paid well, but yeah, things don't go well. You're getting blamed, too. I wouldn't have benched him. And if you were going to bench him, maybe you wanted to trade him before the deadline here. I mean, I'm still annoyed that Jacksonville didn't make a play for him.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Blaine Gabbert comes in for Drew Stanton. That's another benching, which is probably not on anybody's fantasy radar, but two quarterback leagues, these things we have to talk about. The bye weeks for this week are the Panthers, the Colts, the Jets, and the Niners. So, Christian McCaffrey owners like myself, Cam Newton owners, you got to look in another direction. We'll keep talking about news in the NFL as well as the injuries in the next segment. Devontae Freeman, Cam Chancellor, Chris Hogan, a bunch of other guys are out for this week. So it's Mike and George on the Roto Experts. We're back after this. If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product. It's like the power of love on like a, one of those Casio keyboards.
Huey Lewis, come on, man. Little Huey Lewis.
I've seen Huey Lewis in concert. He was awesome. Like, I don't know, like 6 years ago, 5 years ago.
That's not Huey Lewis.
But in any event, so as we transition over to the news, a couple of big stories. Obviously, we talked about Tyrod. What?
Oh, you didn't do that on purpose? Huey Lewis in the news, transition to the news.
Oh, dude, that's a professional radio situation.
I gave
you
credit. You didn't even know you were doing it.
No, I see. That's how locked in I am. So Tyrod Taylor gets benched in even after Coach Doug McDermott. What's his name? Sean McDermott.
Coach.
Doug McDermott's the basketball player. Sorry. Sean McDermott. Kind of backed him after the game. It was like, Tyrod's our quarterback. You know, we don't anticipate making a move. And then 72 hours later, Nathan Peterman, first-round draft pick, is in for the Bills. So what were your thoughts on this? What can we expect out of Peterman? I mean, this is a team that we thought was going to punt this season. They surprised everybody. But now they're slipping away a little bit. They're still in the playoffs, by the way, 5-4, and they've got a shot here, but they're putting a rookie in the middle of the season. So what's up?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we've known this for a couple of seasons. The Bills just don't like Tyrod Taylor, right? We had the whole fiasco. I remember you and I talking about it at the end of last year with the, oh, my God, they're not going to pay him his ball because he had a surgery without the permission of the team. They may not pay him. This could be a wreck. So we go to court. It didn't. You know, they just don't like him. Bottom line is they don't view him as a franchise quarterback. You know, when I say they don't like him, that's what I mean. I don't know if they like him as a person. They just don't view him as a franchise quarterback, which is fine. But it's why we brought his name up over and over again. That why not trade him before the deadline to a team that needed a quarterback? If you know, you traded everybody else without a problem. You know, I really thought many times they should have talked to Jacksonville, you know, about possibly moving him there. I think that would have made some sense for both squads. Doug Marrone, the former Bills coach, was there. Not even Marrone doesn't like him either, so never had a chance. But you gotta like him more than Bortles, don't you? So, listen, they want to move on. That's fine. You're fine now. You got the next rest of the season. You know, 7 games to find out about Peterman. The only problem is, you said it, they're in the playoff hunt. I mean, right now, they're in a playoff spot. Actually, if the season ended today, which would really be kind of disappointing, they would play Tennessee. In the playoffs. So weird, just weird that they would do this. But hey, I don't mind it. You know, like I say, if you got to find out, I think Buffalo all along has played the game of, listen, I know we're in the playoffs, but we know we're not very good. We know we're not winning a Super Bowl here. I'm still building for the future. This is why they traded Darius, you know, free up that cap space. This is why they're going to Peterman, find out if he's the quarterback of the future, if they got to go draft one, or if they got to sign one of free agency. Maybe Kirk Cousins will be there next year. Who knows? So I don't mind the move in that sense, but I do think in some ways Taylor's getting the raw deal. As I told you during the break, quarterbacks, you know, he gets all the love when they win and all the hate when they lose. I know Taylor had a terrible game last week. What do you have, 57 yards passing? But didn't that defense give up almost 300 yards rushing?
It was the defense's fault. They got scorched. And, yeah, the offense could have played adequately, and they still would have gotten scorched because defense couldn't get off the field. As you said, nearly 300 yards rushing. Like, when that happens, you've gotten buried. If you're giving up 300 yards rushing, it means you just got worked. emotionally, physically, you got beat up. I think the tough part for Peterman is he's going to start on the road here at the Chargers, at the Chiefs, then New England before he hits the Colts. So it's not exactly, I mean, you got to do it when you got to do it, but it's not exactly an easy three-game stretch for him to come in on. So we'll talk a little bit more about that in the next hour with Ryan Talbot. Again, at Ryan Talbot Bills, he'll give us some insight as to why the move was made and what he can expect from other guys moving forward. I mean, the Kelvin Benjamin trade hasn't been has been terrible for fantasy owners so far. Maybe we can extract some value out of it with a quarterback change. So moving on to the big injury news and other news of the day, Phillip Rivers medically cleared to play Sunday after suffering a concussion in last week's game against the Jaguars. So, George, this concussion thing goes back and forth. Phil Rivers is in the game, and then after the game, he's got a concussion, and now here he is, and he's playing a few days later.
Yes, concussions are tricky. This is why I generally don't get all that involved in these things. I mean, according to Philip Rivers, he didn't feel it during the game. He felt it the next day. We've seen this happen before.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it does happen. Some guys get over it very quickly. It may be the first of his career, for all we know. Some other guys don't get over it at all. You know, we've seen Altoona and his problems. I mean, I'll go to hockey. Marc-Andre Fleury suffered another concussion a month ago. He's still out. So you just don't know with these players about how it affects their heads. You just don't.
Crosby was out for extended periods of time.
I mean, in baseball, what it happened to, was it Justin Morneau, I think?
Yes.
You know, so you just don't know how long it's going to keep a player out for. You know, it affects players. Definitely, there's no way of saying, oh, you know, timetables a week, you know, 1 to 2 weeks. You don't know. You know, so I'm not judging Phillip Rivers in any way. Well, what charge, I should say. Oh, they got him in there. You know, it was an independent neurologist, so he's fine, good to go. It does seem that quarterbacks do tend to pass these things faster than the other positions, but it is what it is.
Yeah, Luke Kuechly in the concussion protocol again. I think he's questionable to play. Devontae Freeman in the concussion protocol. It looks like he's out. He hadn't practiced at all this week, even though Dan Quinn kind of opened the door for him to play. I don't see that happening on Monday night.
No, I don't think Freeman plays either. I've got him in a league, and I'm not waiting Monday night to find out. Now, it'd be great if I had Freeman and Coleman, and I only needed to start one. All right, then you're fine. But if you have anybody else, I mean, it's not like I want to end up starting Eddie Lacy in this game. With Thomas Rawls, if Freeman can't go, I'll play it safe and I'll start whoever my other back is on Sunday. I'm not waiting for Monday night.
Yeah, and on the Seahawks front, Cam Chancellor is out. So now they're missing. Now they got no Cam Chancellor. They obviously have no Richard Sherman for the rest of the year. So that defensive backfield is hurting.
It's no longer the Legion of Boom.
Yeah, it is the Legion of Earl Thomas, and who's arguably the best player back there. But
hey, they got Byron Maxwell back.
No, awesome. He was the worst defensive back in football 2 years ago, so it's good to see him back.
Did he say he was the best cornerback, too?
No. Yeah. I mean, what? Confidence goes a long way to getting you a contract, I suppose. So he can say whatever he wants. But that's a big one. I need that one for my over-unders, George. That Washington loss was a killer for me. I thought Seattle was going to cruise, and now they're not in a position to cruise at all. I think they're going to struggle to get to the 11 wins that I need. And if I had to guess right now, I think they're going to come up just short. Back to injury news. And a big one is Green Bay Packers running back situation, because now Ty Montgomery is out. He joins fellow starting back Aaron Jones, who's out for a month with the sprained MCL, on the sidelines, according to NFL.com. So rookie ball carrier Jamal Williams, who our very own Jake Seeley touted a lot during the preseason as a guy that could potentially take over this job. Doesn't matter how he got it now. What do you expect from Jamal Williams in the starting role?
Little to nothing. I mean,
up against the Ravens.
Right. This is not good Sunday. And I claim Jamal Williams in, I think, two leagues. I had no choice. We all need running backs here. But he's playing against the Ravens defense. That's pretty good. Coming off a bye. And your offensive line is bad.
Yeah.
Really bad. And you lost your best offensive lineman in Bulaga. No one's afraid of the quarterback. So the safeties aren't playing 20 yards back of the line of scrimmage. This, I mean, look, you're starting him more than likely if you claimed him. You probably don't have better. I'm starting him. But he's another guy that, unless he gets to the end zone, I don't see this being a good fantasy day. He's not someone who I'm expecting, you know, 113 yards from. I would be borderline shocked if that came up.
Yeah, so the Ravens defense is the best in the league, is one of the best in the league against the pass. Statistically, rushing, they rank pretty low in the league. But yards per attempt is about mid-range. And they're going up against a very limited offense, as George just said. The quarterback, he can't inspire confidence. They're going to stack the box here and try to prevent what they have given up earlier this year to guys like Fournette and others. So it'll be a tough one. I did pick him up in one league. I will struggle to start him as well, but I'm out of it in that league, so I might just take a flyer on it, see what happens. Keeping down through the injuries, Leonard Fournette did not practice on Friday. That's bad news. Obviously, you're going to want to pick up Chris Ivory and or TJ Yeldon. If you're a Fournette owner, but I don't know really, you know, hopefully you have other options at this point, but people have run out of those kinds of options, George.
Yeah, I mean, we have run out of options. It's running back. We always do. It's why we always claim as many as possible. You need depth of that at the position there because it's next man up once the guy goes down. You mentioned Fournette. I mean, this is sort of annoying. The ankle's still bothering him over a month later. So that's somewhat concerning here. Does that put Chris Ivory back on the board here or TJ Yeldon you got to go out and grab?
By the way, do you think that's why he was out at the end of the game? Remember how Fournette was just missing at one point? And I remember going on Twitter and Twitter was exploding. Yeah. So you assume it's because of that ankle bothering him, right?
He wasn't performing all that well anyway, but I think that the ankle probably was bothering him, and that's probably why he was out. And I agree with you. People were, I remember doing the show with Matt Modica. I mean, you could see it on Twitter. Is he out? You're looking all over the place. I'm like, I don't see any injury posted here. I would assume the ankle was bothering him again. And that's an ankle. You know, if it's a high ankle, they don't heal very quickly. This may bother him for the rest of the season. It wouldn't shock me here unless they're willing to sit him down, and they can't afford to sit him down if they want to stay in the playoff hunt.
Correct. Danny Woodhead for the Ravens made it through most of what Baltimore did in practice this week. He's been out since tearing his hamstring in week one. He's eligible to come off IR. Harbaugh said whether Woodhead plays against the Packers on Sunday will be decided by doctors and trainers. That's not a lot there. I would guess that he doesn't, but it's a total guess.
Yeah, they're playing a game there, Harbaugh, not letting you really know. I think they have to make that decision by 4 o'clock today, if I'm correct.
So,
yeah, I'm not 100% sure about that. But, yeah, if they take him off IR, he's going to play. If they don't, then you know he's not. I think the big question is he automatically in your lineup if he does play?
I don't think he can be because the other guys have some defined roles now. So even if Woodhead comes in as a change of pace, is he even going to see 10 touches?
I got to think I don't know about 10 touches, but I got to think he's a part of the game plan if he's activated off fire. If they don't want to use him, they wouldn't use him. I think it'll depend on what you have on your roster. I think more people probably will end up using him in PPR than won't.
Yeah, I agree. I just can't see me putting a guy in there that I think might touch the ball 6 to 8 times. It's not a lot of value to be had there. We'll come back. We'll keep talking about this and more after the break. It's Mike and George on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Mike and George taking you around the injury news and the NFL news in general on the Roto Experts. We just talked about Danny Woodhead. Next guy's out. This is a shocker. Jordan Reed is out with a hamstring injury, George. And wide receiver Terrell Pryor has also been ruled out. Man, Pryor's just been one of the worst guys out there in fantasy football this year. I have him in one league, and I just look at it every week, and I've put him in so many times with zero production. Now at least you can know that he's out without having to mess around with it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you have stuff prior on your team, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. Okay. In a redraft. Yeah, he's only – it's. I should clarify, for my team, it's a dynasty league, so it's a huge roster.
Yeah. The Redskins have let it be known. They're done with Pryor. He's not going to be back next year with the team. He'll move on. Little surprise, we did hear at the trade deadline, that the Cleveland Browns were interested. Little surprise, Washington didn't move him. You know, see what would have happened there. Get something for him. It wouldn't have been much, obviously, but something. And I was also kind of curious that Cleveland also wanted him back. You wouldn't give him the one-year, $8 million deal in free agency, but now you will. It's a weird situation there. It didn't work out for whatever reason. He's done with Washington. Hasn't worked out really for Washington overall. But Jordan Reed, like you said, ooh, he's hurt. Not going to play. Wow. So surprised.
Yeah, shocker. Minnesota Vikings coach Mike Zimmer said defensive end Everson Griffin made it through practice this week and is expected to play against the Rams. So that's a huge addition to their defensive line. Right tackle Mike Remmers had a setback in concussion protocol and will not play. So a little bit of offensive line issues there in Minnesota, which has been far better than it was a year ago, which is really the crux of their entire collapse at the end of the year last year was offensive line issues. Moving over to Detroit. Defensive end Ziggy Ansah has been ruled out again for Sunday's tilt against the Bears. So that's a tough one. He's obviously an up-and-coming defensive player, but he's had injury issues all year. And even last year, I think he was kind of banged up. But in any event, he'll be out there as well. Let's move over to the one other thing they wanted to talk about. I know this is only relevant for two quarterback leagues as far as the quarterback position is concerned, but it does impact the other guys around him. Drew Stanton is out with a knee injury, but he was benched anyway in favor of Blaine Gabbert, it seems. So John Brown is also limited. We got Larry Fitzgerald talking about an extension, which is surprising to me. So give me some thoughts here. Like, it can't be any worse than it was with Stanton, right? You expect about the same production that we've been getting?
I think that's pretty accurate. I mean, when it comes down to, listen, the only person you want to start the passing game is Fitzgerald. That's it. I'm not going to the Browns, not going to J.J. Nelson. I'm done with that. You think it's a good matchup versus Houston, although Houston played pretty well on defense last week. Adrian Peterson, I mean, it could be somewhat of a problem here because Houston has been good against the run all season. I think Arizona will try and run the ball more. I think Peterson will have more success than he did last week in Seattle in a Thursday night game, but I'm not seeing a huge game coming here.
Did you get involved in any of the Adrian Peterson sweepstakes in any of your leagues?
No, I don't own him in any. I did own him in the beginning of the year in a league or two. But I divested myself probably after week two or week three when you could see how New Orleans had no idea how to use him. And I never went back to the well once he went to Arizona.
It is funny to me, looking back at it now, New Orleans obviously had a lot of interest in Kamara, right? Considering where they drafted him. And throughout training camp, they had to know what they had. But they stuck with Peterson there when it was, you know, like it, in no time for us sitting at home, it became apparent that he was an odd man out. So it is curious to me that the Saints kept him around through all that time when teams were obviously looking for running back help and at various times, and they jumped on the right opportunity, I suppose. But it's just funny to look at what the Saints have now and to think that they felt like they needed another piece, because the duo they have now is the best in the league. I mean, if certainly for fantasy purposes, they are.
I believe Tony Sincotto and I were talking on Fantasy First Look on Monday about this exact same thing. What running back would you take over one of these two, Ingram or Kamara? Gurley? Sure. Bell? Sure. Who else? Come on, Mike. Mm. Give me somebody. It's not easy.
Because of Fournette's injury, I can't say.
Right? Fournette hasn't done anything in a month. So that's what we can't. So we can't put him above him. McCoy? No.
They're both putting up huge games.
They're monsters.
And it's really obvious that the Saints are they are trying to slow down the aging process however they can for Breeze, right? There's one thing that you can say about aging quarterbacks if you look at some metrics. Towards the end of seasons, older quarterbacks tend to get less effective. You could say that maybe about some other quarterbacks as well that aren't aging, but I've seen some really good metrics on quarterbacks, and this includes Brady, it includes Breeze, that when it gets to the end of the year, that last month, which could include the playoffs in some instances, the accuracy goes down. I think you even saw it. Look, Tom Brady won the Super Bowl MVP, but George, he threw a lot of interceptable passes in that game where Tom Brady wouldn't throw them here in week 9 or 10.
Plus, remember, you got to remember last year, Brady also was suspended for the first four games.
That's right.
So actually, it was a shorter season for him. You know, you wonder if that, and in the end, may have helped him a little bit as well. Now, it makes sense. Long season, taking all those hits, they accumulate, they add up. And so you're going to slow down as the season moves on here. So I'm not surprised by that. You know, that the metrics tell you that these older quarterbacks aren't going to play as well. I think for most positions, they're not going to play as well.
Yeah, I think it's a great point on the running back situation. I mean, those are the guys. You mentioned the ones that are the ones that you want, and I don't see how you could take any of those guys over, other than those couple of guys, how you could take any of them over the Saints running backs. I had offers in this one league for Kamara, and I said no to all of them. Would you take Kareem Hunt over them at this point?
No. What's Kareem Hunt done since week three?
No, not a lot.
Really not much. He's been an average back at best. Hasn't gotten into the end zone. Maybe he does tomorrow against the Giants. You know, bad team. Giants have been terrible for a while. So perhaps that works out. But no, I would not take Kareem Hunt over him.
Mel Gordon?
No, God, no. He's too up and down. I think he does have a good game tomorrow. I think they're going to run the ball a whole lot, or at least try. But you got Eckler there, who's come with the prominence now, too. Gordon, once again, just not hasn't done much. So, no, I'm not taking Gordon over Kamara or Ingram.
Kamara and Ingram are 6-7 right now in fantasy football in your PPR leagues. So, pretty impressive, considering Kamara wasn't even totally utilized at the beginning of the year. I mean, those first couple of games, he had 7 carries and then 1 carry and then 2 carries and then 5 carries. And obviously, it was really by week 3 that they started throwing him the ball. And that's when they moved on from Adrian Peterson, and it is what it is now. So they're in good shape here the rest of the way. The Saints have been surprisingly good on defense, and they continue rolling here. So I'll get back to the injury news. Texas wide receiver Will Fuller has been ruled out. So you don't have to worry about putting him in your lineup or not. He's been a guy that I felt like there's been a lot of questions since that quarterback change. And some people have said you can just get rid of him now that Tom Savage is in. I think I have him in one league, was just hanging on to him. I haven't played him, but he's been ruled out. He might be a cuttable asset at this point, but it obviously depends what you have on your roster.
That's always the best. Most of these questions. What else do you have on your roster? You know, are you strong enough where you don't have to make this worry about this decision? You know, generally when it comes to fantasy and setting up my rosters, I want to take the less amount of risk as possible. Unless I have, you know, I'm playing someone whose team is just a monster and I have no choice, need to upside everywhere. That could change things. But in most weeks, I want my risk to be minimized.
Yep. Last one. I think matters. Or two more. Dolphins wide receiver Kenny Stills didn't practice. He's questionable for Sunday. Keep in mind, Stills' value was impacted with Devontae Parker's return. And the last one, New England Patriots wide receiver Chris Hogan will not play against the Oakland Raiders in Mexico City. Danny Amendola, Martellus Bennett are questionable. So Hogan continues to be out. The Patriots continue to roll along. You know, nothing new in New England. Nothing to see here. They just keep on rolling. Just different players that getting touches each and every week, and Tom Brady's still great.
Yeah, Tom Brady's still great. Shocking. And I don't think that'll change tomorrow in Mexico City. I think he'll put up some good fantasy numbers there. I like I pretty much like everybody in this game. When it comes down to New England, Mike, it's always going to come down to the running backs. Burkhead, Lewis, White, which one? You know, which one might be left out? You know, and listen, would it shock anybody tomorrow if Gillis Lee's the one who goes off and, you know, just to screw everybody?
Yeah. One question that I got from my friend Robin down in Tampa. Davante Adams, Marquise Lee, Sammy Watkins. I'll eliminate Watkins right off the bat, but the Davante Adams, Marquise Lee is an interesting one. Lee's been banged up, but he's been practicing this week and he's ready to go for tomorrow.
Adams has actually done pretty well with Huntley here. He's the one guy. But you said it, though. Tough matchup there. Cleveland not as good against the pass. I think I'm going Lee here. You mentioned he is banked up, and he's playing so well here. Just don't do any more stupid dances in the end zone after getting hit what you thought was a late hit, which ended up not being a late hit, you idiot. Yeah.
I'll go with Lee here as well. But it's a close one. I could see you going either way. I mean, decent options, both of them. They're like right in the end of the wide receiver two conversation probably for this week. I'm going to ask you one question, even though we have very little time. Is Roger Goodell going to get this extension or not?
Yes, he'll get the extension. I have very little doubt about that. I don't think they want to go into with somebody else they don't know. Listen, this is Jones saber rattling, and he's upset. He's actually pretty pissed.
Yeah, it's more than that now. It's more than saber rattling. He's trying to get people on his side to seemingly block this or make it tougher on Roger.
Thing is, they all signed. Even always, they all signed for the compensation committee to be able to do this. They all signed off on it. So good luck.
Unanimously.
Right, there was 32-0. So I understand he, like I said, he's pissed off that apparently Goodell told him that Elliott wouldn't be suspended, and Goodell changed his mind. So now Jones is going, balls to the wall and trying to nail everybody. And I love the video that came out last night too. This is just great timing.
Yeah, I don't believe Jerry that Roger told him that he wasn't going to be suspended. I think maybe he didn't deliver it the right way, but I don't believe him. We're back after this.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Welcome back, Roto Experts Weekend Morning Show. I'm George Kurtz, and joining me for this segment will be the man behind the glass who's playing this wonderful music that I have no idea what it is, Pete Considoria. Pete, how you doing? Maybe he's not doing that well.
No, I'm here. Sorry about that. Hit the wrong button. Great start to the segment. It's in sync, George.
Oh, yeah, I should know that.
Come on.
In sync. Are you kidding me?
Never heard of Bye Bye Bye?
No.
All right.
I'm stuck in the 70s and 80s, maybe a little bit of the 90s there, Pete. You're not going to see me knowing too much. I've heard of In Sync.
Okay. So at least you've heard of them.
Yay. I have heard of them. And it's something else you might have heard the other day. Now, if you follow Mike Cardano on Mike Cardano's our boss here at the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And Cardano posted a video that he made in 2013, I believe, with Pat Mayo about fighting in hockey. And it was kind of ridiculous because Pat Mayo, as I like to make fun of, is the one Canadian who doesn't really like hockey. All right? And just infuriates me. And Cardano admitted during the video that he hadn't watched the game pretty much since the mid-80s. So they were talking about fighting in hockey, Pete. So what's your opinion on fighting in hockey? Do you miss it? Do you wish it would come back? Do you think it was barbaric? What do you think?
I miss it a little bit. I think it should come back. I mean, the momentum swings that you would have because of fights in hockey, I think that changed the course of games and even sometimes series. A lot of people can make the argument, yeah, it's a little barbaric, but it's the game of hockey. Hockey was always this gritty, rough, and kind of just hard-checking kind of game. And, you know, granted, I understand that they want to get rid of injuries and meaningless stuff, but like I said, fighting, I feel like, can change the momentum drastically in a game.
Yeah, now, because of this, I decided to write a column yesterday for Sports Grid. I called it Five for Fighting, and now I'm older than you. I've been watching hockey since the late 70s. So I was around watching when there used to be, full-out bench-clearing brawls.
Right.
And I got to tell you, they were fun. You see 20 guys, 20 fights on the ice, that was fun.
Well, we almost had that with the Detroit-Calgary game the other night.
Wrote about that too, and I was watching that game live. It was a beautiful. It was a Wednesday night, and so there was only two or three games on. So I happened to catch that live. Normally, I would not be watching Boston, Detroit, Calgary. Nobody would care, and it's just entertaining. Now, listen, Pete. I don't want to see a fighter go against a non-fighter. I don't want to see somebody your size fighting somebody my size. If he's not a fighter, but two willing participants. I don't understand how you can tell me, oh, it's barbaric, bare knuckle fighting, and it's crazy. But it's okay for the UFC and boxing.
Right.
I mean, I just, that to me, that's extremely hypocritical.
Well, yeah, but George, wouldn't you say that we know what we're getting into with UFC and boxing in hockey? It's a tertiary part of the action. I think the concussion thing, too, for hockey players, we just talked about, in a previous segment, I think that's going to weigh over this as well. If somebody was to ever get like knocked out, if someone is to ever get knocked out cold, you're saying these guys are getting concussions, not even playing part of the game, et cetera, et cetera. I just think the temperature for it has dried up.
Are they not getting concussions in boxing and UFC? That doesn't make, that argument makes no sense. None.
I think it's a part of the reason why people don't really watch boxing much anymore. And the UFC, I think that day of reckoning is coming to some extent, because the concussion issues in that sport are going to be extremely long-lasting if there is an obvious relation that we see in the other sports. So I think you're right, and I do think that day of reckoning will come at some point.
You're probably right. It's unfortunate. I said I like that. Pete put up a good point. It was fun to see. But Hockey X has been trying to get rid of fighting long before the concussions things came out, and they pretty much succeeded.
Yeah. We'll come back. We'll focus back on the NFL after this. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.